And so, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are talking about stewardship, and I bet that some of you aren't too happy to hear that word. Stewardship has become a four-letter word. Anytime you mention the word stewardship, there is negative connotation. Anytime you mention stewardship, people start to be offended. We met as a stewardship committee not too long ago and talked about what we're going to do for stewardship emphasis this year. And one person said, well, let's try and come up with a new word rather than stewardship. And you know what? They're 100% right. Because what happens? Every time you mention stewardship, people start thinking, well, here comes the church asking for more money, more of my hard-earned dollars, which then goes to emphasize all of those people who think that the church only exists for money and only wants people's money. In doing some research on stewardship, I stumbled upon this passage from Isaiah, which I think is just fascinating. And it's not fascinating to me because I enjoy hearing God angry. I like it because it challenges how we think about sacrifices. You know, when we think about sacrifices, we think sacrifices are always pleasing to God. But what does he say in Isaiah? I've had enough. He even says hate. He hates these things that the people are bringing to them. And when you look at the context of Isaiah, what's the problem there? The problem is the people's hearts. They're not sacrificing because their hearts are into the worship or their hearts are devoted to serving their God. They're sacrificing just because they're supposed to. There's nothing behind it. And that continues even to this day with our faith, that it's all about where our hearts are. So, when we give, when we sacrifice, while we're not cutting up animals on an altar by any means, what are we doing when we are sacrificing of our own livelihood to give to the Lord? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. And one of the things that makes me quite upset and bothered is seeing God's word manipulated. Because so many people have used this passage to guilt people into giving. You should be happy to give your money. God loves a cheerful giver. You should be happy to love your to give your money away. Not to mention that most of us have worked hard for that money, but you should be happy to do it. You know why? Because God's going to bless you. When you do this work, God will reward you. God will bless you. And you know what that is? It's a little thing called the prosperity gospel. And those two words should make you shudder. Should make you very upset to hear. Anytime a preacher tells you that if you do something, God will bless you, you should stop listening. Because it's true that God does bless us. It's true that God does reward us. But we see that who our God is he doesn't require anything of us. The heart of our faith, rather, is to give. When Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 9, he is encouraging the people and saying that you have to think about it. You should not be giving because you feel compelled to do so. Because it is to be a response to what God has given you. Because from day one, God has been giving. Ever since the very beginning, God has given to us the plants, the animals, this earth itself, the air we breathe, God gives us. And even remarkable as we look outside, the cars we drive, God gives us. The clothes we wear, God gives us. As the kids kept mentioning, which is something you should feel very encouraged by, families. What was the blessing that they kept repeating? Their families. God gives us our families. But again, as I mentioned to the children this morning, there is one blessing that we could never pay back. And that is the gift that we have been given on the cross. As Christ gives us his own life. This is a gift that is unreal, unbelievable, unfathomable. Why would you do this? And we know as we read through Scripture that it is flowing out of God's love and God's graciousness and God's generosity. I find that passage in Isaiah so fascinating, especially also because of the end and how it changes. Because at the end, it tells them to do all of these good works, to do all of these things, but also after telling them about all of their sins and how God hates their sacrifices, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Notice there, if you do this, your sins will be white as snow. If you give the church more money, you will be forgiven of your sins. That's not how God works. God is a giver. He has always been a giver. He will continue to be a giver, whether you deserve it or not. That's just who He is. And so as we talk about Christian stewardship, maybe we should change the word to our response. Because all this talk of giving refers to our response to God's gifts to us. Stewardship is often defined simply as managing. We have to manage the things that God has given to us. And I feel it doesn't really work because, regardless, you're managing what you have. You manage it to give to other people, to take care of your family. You manage it to be selfish. You have what you have. And you get to decide what to do with it. A strange and interesting blessing that God has given us. But you decide. And that's why when we talk about giving our gifts and giving our time to one another, it needs to be in response to what God has done for us. And I think that the psalmist sums up my thoughts here best in Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? What could I possibly give to God? What could I possibly do for Him to pay Him back for what He has given to me? We had it earlier in our psalm earlier today, too. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? We can't do it. And so it's not in a human terms, this kind of give and take relationship we have with God. It's something completely different. What could I possibly do for Him? Nothing. And I bet that even if you could do something, God wouldn't want it. Because God loves to give. And so we should not think that we can repay Him, but rather think about our response to His generosity, which again leads right back to our hearts. I think one of the greatest illustrations of this is Luke 21 and the widow's mite. And the two small coins that she has are worth less than that penny you see on the sidewalk that you don't even want to expel enough energy to bend over and pick up that penny. These coins are worth nothing. But yet, what does Jesus do in Luke chapter 21? He emphasizes this woman's gift, because her gift is not about the money, but rather about her trust, her devotion to God, where her heart is. It is her response to His generosity to her. And her response is that of trust. And Jesus emphasizes that her two tiny little insignificant coins are worth so much more than these men who are pouring in their treasures into the temple. Because it's all about the heart. And so as we reflect on our response to God's generosity, we have to reflect on our hearts and where we are. Where are we in our response? And so for me, I've never had a lot of riches. I didn't come from a wealthy family. I was dirt poor in college and seminary, but I have always been a big, healthy guy. Ever since I was 4 years old, I was 6'3", 250 pounds. I have always been this big, and I've always been able to help and to serve. And I'm not telling you all of this to guilt you or to make you think, look at how good Paul is. He's such a good guy. I'm telling you this so that you can see how I have responded. Because I would serve in whatever way I could, and I would push myself to serve, especially in those times when I didn't want to do it, because I knew I could. And I knew that this was a way that I can respond to God's generosity to me. And I remember specifically in Baltimore, working with the poor, homeless, and the addicted. And as I reflect now, those people who were poor were actually richer than I was. But I remember being around people who had awful mental health issues, who would just randomly scream or get violently angry with you for no reason. I remember being around people who made sewers smell pleasant. I remember being around people who would swear and curse at you for no reason. And I remember hating, just absolutely hating some of those times because of how unpleasant they were. But I always pushed myself because I did it as a response to God's generosity to me. It didn't earn me any favors with God. It didn't get me in a better spot in that line to heaven. It's not going to give me a special chair at the table for the feast that never ends. But I like to think that I put a smile on my God's face, that I served as he called me to serve, that I responded to his generosity with me by being generosity with my time and energy. But now as I grow older, as my situation has changed, as I have transitioned into my career, my place in life has changed. And I am now earning a good wage. I'm paying off debts. I'm easily able to care for my wife and to care for all of our needs. And why do I receive this? It's not that I'm being blessed for having served in the past. The reason I'm receiving this is because of God's generosity, because of your generosity, because of your gifts to the church. I am able to be here to serve. I'm able to do what I am able to do. But yet now, I need to step up. I personally need to change. My wife and I do not give financially as we should. We do not tithe that 10% as many people do. We struggle to give. And honestly, for us, it's been a struggle because we spend so much time and energy here that we feel that sometimes, well, that's enough. We don't have to give anymore. But that's not a good response, is it? And so I need to grow and I need to change. And I need to work on that in response to how God has taken care of me. Because when I was dirt poor, I prayed all the time, God, help me with this finance. Help me pay this bill. Help me do this. Help me do that. And God always came through and answered those prayers for me. And so now I need to respond to his generosity by, now I need to be generous too. And again, I reflect on myself and on my situation, not to guilt you, not to get you to think how much better I am than you, or anything like that, but I do a self-reflection to encourage you to do a self-reflection. First and foremost, look at God's generosity in your life. And the first place you go to see generosity should be the cross, where God has given you life, life that you could never earn. He has given you forgiveness that you could never earn. And he has done it so wonderfully and freely that there's nothing you could do to pay him back. It is just generosity. But God is a giver, and he continues to give. I encourage you to go online when you get home and browse Google Earth or some other website to look at the state of living of other people around the world, and then look at where you live and see how God has been generous to you. Again, not to guilt you into giving, but to get you to be thankful and understand how much God has given you. But then I want you to reflect on how you are being generous with what you have. Are you good? Are you giving too much? I know that there's a couple people who do give too much, and it actually negatively affects their families. Are you not giving enough? Are you in a situation like me where you say, you know what, I do need to step up? But I like the classic three of time, talent, and treasure. The classic three that kind of sum up all the things that we have been given. When I was in school, I had time and talent. Now that I'm in my career, I have talent and treasure. I don't have very much time anymore. But those two things are things that I can give, and I know that I need to step up my response in those things. And so I want you to think about it. And for me, it's very difficult to ask people to give. I've never been really comfortable doing that. But in our church, I feel more comfortable asking you to give because I know our budget. I know where our money is going, and I think that our money is going to the right places to do the right things, to serve God and to serve people. And our budget is public. We will give you a copy of it. In fact, you vote to pass the budget. And in all these things, you can see where our ministry is putting our time and our effort. And I can ask you to give time because I can see the many places in this congregation where we are actually serving to help one another and to help people out in this community. There's a lot of things that are going on here, and I'm comfortable asking you to help, to step up if you need to step up, because I can see how we are using what we have here in this church to be generous as God has been generous to us. And so in closing, I want you to go home and I want you to reflect. I want you to think about how you can be generous, how you can be generous in response to God's generosity, and seek to grow in your response to that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.